shut down every wire in the valley.
Hi, I'm Grishma Kuttar, and this is Voices from the Lockdown, a First Post podcast. Today is the 67th day since life in Kashmir came to a complete halt. To bring you up to speed, Kashmir has been under a tight security lockdown with a near-complete communications blackout since August 5th. On the same day, Amit Shah, the Minister of Home Affairs, moved a bill in the Rajya Sabha seeking to split Jammu and Kashmir into two union territories. This also meant that the state of Jammu and Kashmir would no longer be extended a special status as guaranteed under Article 370 and Article 35A. Today, I'll be speaking to Javed Ahmed to get a sense of how the situation has been since August 5th. Javed is a journalist from Kashmir whose reporting is primarily on defense and conflict. So Javed, how do the streets of Srinagar look like as we speak? How would you describe Srinagar town, for instance? Because there have been contradictory reports, you know, some suggesting normalcy, others the opposite. How would you put it if you have to describe Kashmir at this moment?
See, today is Wednesday and it has been third month now this conundrum is continuing. But the thing is, we have seen completely the public transport and the communication services are, suspended. But one thing which is positive we are seeing on the roads is the private transport is day by day increasing. It is almost complete. It is plying normally. Another thing is the shops and these business establishments, they open only just for a few hours in the morning time and they spontaneously shut afterwards.
Okay.
So this is something which is unsponsored. Nobody has given call for it or, nobody asks them for it. Some of the elements, maybe the unknown groups, maybe from the militants, they were, pasting posters on the shop shutters and electric poles, asking shopkeepers not to open their shops and all. So there may be a scare regarding that also.
Also, like since the 5th of August, mobile phones and internet services continue to be down. How is that affecting the valley? What are the kind of drawbacks that you face? You know, like as compared to 2016, when there was curfew, the internet and mobile services were still on. How has this situation been different from that?
So in this aspect, see, in 2016, I'll go back to 2016 when the Burhan Wani, the commander of the Hizbul Mujahideen, was killed in the middle of the year.
Right.
So the situation was not that grim what it is today, because as we talk, the mobile phone services and internet services are completely, suspended, even to the newspaper offices. Only these facilities are, restored to the government offices only as of now.
Right.
But in 2016, when there were mass protests against the killing, then the government had somehow restored the communication and the internet services to the newspapers and other establishments as well. Like if we speak about broadband, it was restored to this community centers also, other offices and all. So it was somehow functioning normally.
Right.
Though there were large-scale protests on the streets and all, but one-sided telephones, one-sided mobile phones were working.
Okay.
But today we have only landline phones working in Kashmir. Rest is totally suspended and it has badly affected journalism in Kashmir.
Right, journalism as well as what
normal
are the
life. The life of a commoner. See, people are not able to speak to their relatives who are outside because everybody doesn't have a landline at home. And see, if I take an example, yesterday I came across a case. A man tried to call his home in Baramulla, but the landline was, there was some technical problem with that. So he couldn't call his parents. So it's something everybody doesn't have it at home.
It's an everyday sort of situation.
Yeah.
It's affecting everyday lives, you mean. Other than the fact that Kashmir is almost shut, other than a little movement like you described, have there been any incidents of deaths, incidents of crossfire, either, you know, from the side of the insurgents or from the side of the government?
Yes, amid this uncertainty in the mainland Kashmir, the militant activities, both along the line of control and the mainland, hinterland, are continuing. See, during this period, although we have seen the pace of anti-militancy operations, I mean, a little bit calm down, but lately, now it has, I mean, restored to some extent. We saw gunfight just yesterday in Avantipur, where two local militants were killed, and they had joined militancy last year itself.
Okay.
There is another operation which was started on September 27th. And that is continuing. It's in Ganderbal forest area.
Okay.
So where also two militants were killed, and according to the police we spoke to earlier, they said they were Pakistanis but were yet unidentified.
Okay.
So they have been buried, but there's no the identity has not been ascertained yet.
Right.
Earlier there was another incident of cross fire. It happened in Uri in North Kashmir's Baramulla district, where army porter was killed after he was hit by a fire from across the border.
Right.
This also coincides with the situation when the Article 35A was abrogated. After that, there were a series of operations, around 350, that were launched at High Ridge Sub Gulmarg, because there were reports of infiltrations from across the border. There was last Saturday there was an incident of grenade. It exploded outside the Deputy Commissioner's office in Anantnag, South Kashmir, which is seen as a hotbed of militancy. 14 persons were injured there, including a traffic cop.
Do you think these incidents, coupled with like zero communication, is leading to more anxiety and more fear in the valley?
Yeah, maybe in the particular areas where these incidents happen, certainly these incidents create a sort of fear in the populace. Mm-hmm. Suppose if yesterday the grenade attack happened, not yesterday, the last Saturday when the grenade attack happened in Anantnag, so certainly it might have created the tensions in the area, given that there was a shutdown as well in the locality.
And how is the government trying to quell, like,
huh? Suppose when people are out on the streets and they go for just normal activities. So when there is grenade attack, and then people run here and there, and then people try to communicate to each other and try to get to know about where, who is where and when they can, call for anybody. But the thing is, at this moment, since there is no communication, nobody can call anybody, because once a person leaves home, he doesn't know where I am going. Suppose if he leaves for Srinagar, his family doesn't know whether he has reached or not. So it is same case if anything happens, a person's family who leaves his home, his family back home doesn't know whether he is safe or he is unsafe.
What has the situation been like on the streets with respect to protests? Have there been protests across the valley or...
This time, the protests and the clashes between these youth and the security forces have been very low compared to the agitations we saw in 2008 or 2009 or for that matter 2016 agitation, when over 100 people were killed.
Right.
So this time we have seen during this period, we have seen only 2-3 casualties we have seen, but the government has completely denied them. One of the youth who was a teenager from Soura area, which has been to mention here, this Soura area is the only area in Kashmir, right? I mean, during this time, which has seen protests continuously on Fridays or other days, that is Anchar Soura. So
okay.
That has been very volatile since August 5. So there were detentions, raids and all. But one of the youth who was killed, forces denied it.
Okay.
But according to the medical report, he died because of the pellet and shell injury. So
okay.
There were two other casualties during this period also. But forces denied, saying these killings did not happen because of the forces' action.
But there are contrary medical reports stating that this has happened.
Yeah, in one case, there is a complete, clear, contradictory medical report which states that this person from Soura died because of the pellet. It is mentioned in the death certificate that he died because of the pellet injuries. But regarding the other case, a boy, he hails from the Palpura area of the city. So he died after he jumped into the river. So while up to flee the forces,
right.
So but it was also denied.
Okay.
The other two persons, when they died during clashes because of the smoke inhalation.
Okay.
But they were not given the the clear medical certificates by the authorities.
All right. That is all we have from the first episode of Voices from the Lockdown. Please tune in tomorrow at 8 a.m. for the next episode.